Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART.
Hi, I'm Joy Jackson.
I've got another newly recorded lost radio show from The Adventures of Sam Spade. It's called The Judas Caper, and here's Ivan Curry as Sam Spade.
American Radio Theater is proud to present a recreation of a lost old-time radio show, Sam Spade, The Judas Caper. This episode was originally broadcast on April 11, 1948, over the CBS radio network.
Date, April 11, 1948, to Mrs. Teresa Delafield, from Samuel Spade, license number 137596.
How many copies, Sam?
No copies.
Just the one for our files?
No copies.
All right, Sam. Subject?
Leave that blank. Dear Terry, this won't be easy reading. And cross that out if he...
Yes, Sam.
I wish... No, I hope... Oh, no. Start a new page.
Sam, maybe...
No. It's okay. I got it now. Dear Terry, it started out as a straight bodyguard job. The body was yours, and my so-called client was your mother-in-law. I liked the tone of her letter, the size of her check. I liked the house, the big rambling English-type mansion in St. Francis Wood. And I liked her. Looking over a four-leaf clover, then I...
Mr. Spade, over here. Do you mind? It's such a lovely day. I thought we might just as well have our little talk in the garden.
Sure, it's nice. You're Mrs. Delafield.
Mrs. David Delafield. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
I don't suppose you detectives ever drink lemonade.
Why not? Is there something wrong with it?
Well, it's pink, and I like it because it reminds me of the circus. Say when.
When?
Isn't this pleasant? They all turn up their noses at my lemonade, except my daughter-in-law, Teresa. I'm very fond of her, Mr. Spade, in so many ways. She reminds me of my own daughter, whom I lost when she was a child.
I'm sorry.
If anything should happen to Terry, I would have no one left.
So you're a widow?
Oh, no. There's my husband. He's living, but... Yes, he's alive. And my son. But you know how it is when boys grow up, how he's so much like his father.
I see. Well, aside from that, what's worrying you, Mrs. Delafield?
I'm not sure. I want to make sure without involving the police and without arousing anyone's suspicions. I understand your investigations are confidential.
Unless there's a crime that can't be overlooked.
Well, there's none as yet, thank heaven. But I'm having the strangest feeling, Mr. Spade. I can't quite put my finger on it. But I have this feeling that my son, Russell, is trying to hurt Terry in some way.
What brought this feeling on, Mrs. Ellsworth?
Well, it may be only my imagination, but the man at Spaulding's told me it's practically impossible to clean a gun when it's loaded. And the doctor said it was definitely sleeping medicine in the bottom of the glass after her bed had burned up, and she never drinks brandy.
It was brandy in the glass?
Oh, no, lemonade. The brandy was poured all over the bedclothes to make it burn better, I think. But, of course, it may be only my imagination.
Let's get this straight. Your son said he was cleaning his gun when it went off, and then what?
Oh, it missed her, but it scorched her hair a little.
And then somebody doused her with sedative to set it fire.
Oh, I managed to get her out in time. But it could have been quite dangerous.
Oh, yes, I agree. Now, tell me, Mrs. Delafield, how'd you happen to write me instead of some other detective?
Oh, because your name is Spade.
Oh. That figures.
Because of my Aunt Minnie Spade on my mother's side. I'm afraid I've told a little white lie about you. You don't mind.
Well, not so long as it stays white.
Well, I wrote a little note to myself. Here. You better read it.
Okay. Dear Aunt Irene, I shall be passing through San Francisco very shortly, and unless you notify me to the contrary, I shall avail myself of your gracious hospitality. I look forward to meeting Uncle David, Cousin Russell, Cousin Terry, whom you have written me in such glowing reports. Signed, Samson Lovett Spade. P.S. Remember the icebox cookies, also pink lemonade. Boy, oh boy.
Booty, where are you?
Over here, dear, by the bird bath.
There she is now, Mr. Spade.
Who?
Your cousin, Terry.
Now, wait a minute, Mrs. Delafield.
Shh. Confidential, remember?
Booty, he's at it again. I've been looking all over the... Oh, sorry, I didn't know you had a guest.
Not a guest, darling. One of the family.
Well, this family's improving by the minute.
Yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing myself.
Delafield or Lovett?
Lovett.
Minnie Lovett's boy. You remember Minnie, who married that Mr. Spade in Seattle? Your cousin Samson, dear.
By a previous marriage, of course. You could just call me Sam.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I have a foul headache. Shoo! Shoo, you naughty, naughty birdies! Shoo! Shoo!
By whose previous marriage, cousin?
Aunt Minnie's.
Lovett?
Lovett. How about Cousin Russell?
Delafield. Pure Delafield. He and his old man are in the bar drinking each other under it.
Why?
It's all Booty's fault. She keeps telling Russell he's trying to kill me. It's bound to depress him. What do you got on for this afternoon?
Just what I'm wearing.
I like it. My car's parked down by the potting shed. Shall we go for a ride? I mean, I'll show you around the grounds.
Oh, sure. Love it. And I did. Every minute of it. It was a beautiful spring day. The birds were chasing each other all over the place. Squirrels, chipmunks, Girl Scouts selling cookies. Boy Scouts buying them. Something was in the air. It was a skywriter advertising a movie. We stopped looking for four-leaf clovers and turned around to watch him. The plane spelled out April showers. I wondered if it meant anything. It did.
Terry, is that you?
Yes, Booty.
Who's that with you? Oh, Cousin Samson. You naughty, naughty children. Where have you been?
Cousin Terry was just showing me the potting shed.
Oh, did you see my glorious marigolds? Oh, but of course you saw everything. Well, but never mind that now. Russell's terribly drunk. I'm afraid he's been drinking again. And the man from Spalding said that the new bullets he brought out today don't fit any gun in the house. He said they're for elephants. What does it all mean, Mr. Spade? I mean, Cousin Samson.
Where is Cousin Russell now?
He's in Terry's room, but we took the matches away from him. I don't know what to do about the gasoline smell in the library, but we can have tea in the morning room if Cousin Samson doesn't mind our informality.
I love it. That's what I like about the family.
Oh, thank you. Now, you go right along with your Cousin Terry. Send Russell down to me. I want to talk to him. Tell him I'll give him his matches back if he'll come. And then I want you both to light a fire in the hearth, and then I want both of you to dry off all those wet things.
All right, Booty. All right. Come on, Sam.
Tea in the morning room. Daylight saving, you know.
Ooh, that woman. Someday she's going to drive me stark staring mad. My room. Come on in. Oh, Lord. Help me scrape him off the carpet.
Come on, you lush. Straighten up.
I'm innocent. I never touched her. Take me home.
Oh, sure. Come on now. Up on your feet.
I live in St. Francis Wood. Hey, Terry, who is this guy?
None of your business. What are you doing in my room?
A husband's got a right. A husband...
Get out!
All right. If that's the way you want it, my old man's got influence. He'll close this joint. Sleep on that. I'll let you know in the morning.
Well, Sam, that's your cousin Russell.
How'd you happen to marry him?
Light the fire, Sam. Pull up that love seat and I'll tell you all about it. Just a minute. I'll slip on a robe.
Okay. I'm looking over a fallen clover that I overlooked before WPT.
Well, that's cozier. Sit here beside me and your cousin Terry will tell all.
Okay, but first I think I ought to tell you that I'm not your...
Who pushed me?
Well, he made it down the stairs.
Well, I hope there's a doctor in the house.
Oh, he never hurts himself.
Why did you marry him?
Well, we were brought up together, and everybody seemed to expect it. So I guess we did, too.
What do you mean, brought up together?
My parents were killed in a plane accident when I was a baby. Old Mr. Delafield, your Uncle David, by that previous marriage, was appointed my guardian.
I see. All right, now, about that previous marriage...
Russell and me? Oh, it never meant a thing. I could get an annulment tomorrow if I had a good excuse.
Well, what has he been giving you but excuses? Or are you waiting for him to make it down the stairs head first one of these days?
Sam, don't. Please don't. It's not what you think.
Then what have you been waiting for all this time?
Haven't you figured it out yet?
Yeah, and it doesn't add up.
Try again, Sam.
Uh-uh.
Why? I know you aren't my cousin Samson.
Oh, well. In that case, come here. Couldn't make out where the gunman was. The slugs were spattering in every direction. I dumped you on the floor, rolled the love seat over on top of you, and reached my own gun, but I never got to use it. About then, the lead stopped flying, and I smelled some smoke that wasn't powder smoke. It came from the rug in front of the fireplace, where a bunch of live coals had showered out on it. I ground them out with my heel, and then I took the poker and started digging into the fireplace. What I raked out were 10 empty steel-jacketed cartridges of .500 caliber. I was beginning to believe it was true what they said about Russell.
Stay out there, Irene, till I find out if it's safe.
Terry! Terry, my poor little girl! What happened? Did he miss you again?
I'm not sure I blame Russell, Irene. I'm not sure it's at all proper for this... what did you say his name was?
This is Cousin Samson, David, dear. This is your Uncle David.
Look, let's drop all that, shall we, Mrs. Delafield? My name is Sam Spade. I'm a private detective.
Well, my apologies. That makes it all right, of course. And you can give me a straight answer. What did happen?
Somebody, maybe your son, I'm not sure, loaded the fireplace with live ammunition.
It was Russell. I wondered why he ordered those ridiculous big bullets.
Why didn't you tell me of this?
Well, they didn't fit any of the guns, and when he tried to set the fire on the library rug and worrying about the gasoline smell and everything, I completely forgot.
That settles it. I don't care if he is my own son. He's going out of here in a straitjacket tonight.
No, no, you mustn't. You know what he said he'd do if you ever tried to send him away?
It can't be any worse than it is. You stay here, Terry. You always upset him. Come on, Spade. Irene, he always listens to you. Come along.
The ground floor was big, but there weren't many rooms and no hiding places that I could see. We didn't find Russell anywhere. By this time, your mother-in-law was in tears, but I couldn't tell what old man Delafield was thinking.
Irene, stop that. You know it has to be done. You go upstairs and look in his room. I'll search the west wing. Spade, you cover the grounds. Try the potting shed. He often hides down there.
Huh?
The potting shed. Come along, Irene.
Well, I didn't have any intention of searching the potting shed. I went outside to look for another way in so I could follow him. That's when I saw you, Terry, slip out of the side door, remove your shoes, and take out across the lawn. I took out after you using gum shoes. They didn't go fast enough on the wet grass to beat you with a potting shed. The first thing I saw was you. You looked as if you had fainted, and I think you really had. The second thing I saw was your husband, Russell Delafield. He looked dead, and he was, and I was pretty sure that the slugs in his head would match the dainty little automatic that lay under your dainty little hand.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Oh, no, Mr. or Mrs. McGinney. It wasn't necessary to take off all your clothes. We were just going to discuss your test results.
But the nurse said to speed up.
Yeah, Nurse Nunchucks has quite a sense of humor. I'll just turn my back while you get dressed.
Oh, okay, doctor.
Now, Mr. or Mrs. McGinney, as I recall, you were complaining of high dungeon and shortness of, pants.
Oh, no, doctor. I have a weariness of countenance and lack of curiosity.
Of course. Here's your chart, Mr. Longtooth. Let's see. Countenance, weary, and curiosity lacking. Right. Quite a few tests here, but they all point to one problem.
Yes?
You have what is commonly called ART.
ART? Is it serious?
Well, it's not altogether serious, but it will affect the quality of your life as well as the length of your ears.
What is ART exactly?
Well, exactly is hard to pinpoint. Approximately, it is the American Radio Theater.
What?
Right. It will brighten your countenance and pique your curiosity. I'm going to give you a conscription for ART that you can locate on the Internet and apply to your apparent consciousness on an as-needed basis.
www.americanradiotheater.org. Are you serious, Doctor?
I'm always serial, Mr. Longtooth. Now, I want you to go straight home and take two podcasts. If systems persist, I want you to call me in the morning. Nurse Nunchucks, show this patient to the pay window, please.
That's the American Radio Theater, the breakfast for people who eat.
Sam?
Yes, Abby.
Lieutenant Dundee of Homicide is in the outer office.
Oh, tell him to go away.
All right, Sam. Sam?
What now?
He won't.
All right, show him in.
Oh, Lieutenant Dundee, he just this moment came in through his private entrance.
Hello, Sam.
Sit down, Dundee. Drink?
No, thanks.
No, so that's the way it is. All right, what's eating you?
The Delafield case, or the potting shed mystery, I think the papers are calling it.
I made my statement at the inquest. Anything wrong with it?
Why, no, Sam. You're in the clear. We just want you to stay there.
Oh, thanks a lot. Now, if you'll pardon me, Dundee, I got a million things to do.
Wait a minute, Sam.
Look, Dundee, you know, the coroner's jury handed in the open verdict. Death due to misadventure, suicide, and or homicide by person or persons unknown. Maybe I should repeat that. Person or persons unknown, Dundee. The guy was a lush. He was off his nut. His own mother says he threatened suicide every time he opened a fresh bottle, which was just about every hour on the hour.
Those shots, Sam. One was fired 18 inches from his head, the other 20 inches from his head.
Oh, 20 and 18. Well, that makes 38. Is that how you figured out the caliber of the gun?
Sam, the absolute maximum distance of the weapon from the wound in suicide
is 20 inches. I looked it up, too. So what are you worried about?
Two shots, Sam. A man with a hole clean through his head is supposed to have time to pump another one before it fell down?
Nuts. I've seen them with as many as five, and they were suicides. Reason, reflex, self-loathing.
But, Sam, the medic says the first slug caused instant death.
Really, Dundee?
That's right, Sam.
Huh. Which one of those slugs was fired first, Dundee? The first one or the second?
Well, Now, look here, Sam. That's not my department. That's up to ballistics. You know that.
Oh, well, then stop waving it in my face. Now, you got one more minute. If it isn't any better than that, it'll cost you for an interview.
Now, climb down, Sam. I just wanted to ask you for a little help. We went out to see this girl, this Teresa Delafield. She wasn't available for further questioning. And what do you know? She wasn't there.
What do you know?
Her mother-in-law says she left with you.
What do you know?
Did she or didn't she?
Yeah. Now, she rode in the same bus with me. She had some shopping to do. Anything else?
Yeah. Sergeant Pullhouse just happened to run into your landlady.
Oh, where did he catch her?
In the furnace room in your building. Says here, statement of landlady. My tenant, Samuel Spade, informed me yesterday, 2 p.m., his sister from Tacoma was arriving to keep house for him.
Uh-huh. Which of my sisters?
Says here, statement of landlady continued. I would say she is the Hedy Lamarr type. Black hair and, I would say, violet-colored eyes. I did not hear no names mentioned. He referred to her only as Pussycat.
That's a lie. And furthermore, I sleep on the couch.
Sam, let's get off the dime.
Hey, wait a minute. That's my line.
We know you're hiding her out, and it's not doing her or you any good.
Do you want to book her for murder, Dundee? Of
course not, Sam. We just want to talk to her.
What's stopping you?
Well, we don't want to go busting in anywhere without a warrant.
You mean you can't get a warrant. So you come sucking around me. You're wasting your time. When you get that warrant, come and show it to me. And I'll show you the writ I just had my lawyer draw up for her.
Okay, Sam, but you're making a terrible mistake. Seems to me I remember a girl named Bridget O'Shaughnessy.
Yeah, Dundee, but you got to admit it. When I make a mistake, it's a beaut. I'm looking over a four-leaf clover. Yoo-hoo! Hey, pussycat, where are you?
In here, Sam. In the kitchenette. Oh, help!
What's the matter? What happened? Good grief,
me.
What happened?
Help me up.
Here.
3 hours?
You mean it only took you 3 hours to do all this damage?
Oh, I wanted to surprise you.
Well, stop your wailing. I couldn't be more surprised.
Oh, Sam, you are a darling. Darling, why are you fidgeting?
My foot, it's stuck. It's stuck in something.
What, Sam?
It's something on my shoe.
Oh.
Well, it's not your fault. It could happen to anybody. What is it?
My date nut tort.
Your what?
My date nut tort.
Is that legal?
I guess I'm just not the domestic type, Sam.
Okay, good. Come in the living room. We'll have a drink.
You sit down there and stretch out. This is one thing I do know how to do.
Anything happened today besides the date nut tort?
I saw a darling little straw sailor just around the corner.
Hey, you stay away from those guys. They're fickle.
It's a hat, darling. Here's your drink.
You know, I told you not to leave the apartment. Why did you?
Well, I had to get the dates and walnuts, and I bought a paper. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
The potting shed mystery. Isn't that silly? And that awful old picture of me. Booty must have given it to them. Oh, Sam, they're after me, aren't they?
Come on over here. Sit down.
Yes, Sam.
Are you scared?
Should I be?
I'm not sure. Should you be?
Sam, I thought you believed in me. I was sure you believed in me, Sam.
I'm trying, pussycat. I'm trying mighty hard.
Maybe I should give myself up. I will if you say so.
No. I'm not saying one way or the other.
Why not, Sam?
I guess you never saw anybody sweating under the lights down at headquarters. They do things to you.
What kinds of things?
Oh, nothing. Eye strain. I'd hate to see lines under those pretty eyes of yours.
Oh, Sam, why couldn't I have met you before?
Forget it. Forget about before. It's all over. You're in the clear, and I'm going to keep you there if I can keep there myself.
You're taking a terrible chance for me, aren't you?
Forget it.
We could.
Could what?
Forget everything, but not here.
Any suggestions?
Darling, I know this doesn't sound very nice, especially to you, but it's the only way I know how to say it. I have money. I even have a passport. I'll tell you something else I bought while I was out this afternoon. An airline ticket.
To romantic places?
I suppose so.
Why didn't you use it?
I don't know. I just bought the paper and came back here.
Why?
Sam, stop torturing me. You know why. You know.
Stop it.
You know, darling. You know, don't you?
Yeah, I know. Oh, good morning, Mrs. Delafield.
Mr. Spade, you startled me.
It's a very nice singing voice you have.
Was, Mr. Spade, but thank you anyway. I was in the theater, you know.
Well, I sensed that somehow.
You did? Why, nobody has spotted me for show people in years. You're a remarkably sensitive young man. Would you like to see my scrapbook?
Oh, yes. Yeah, someday. I don't want to take up your time right now.
Of course. You're so busy with the arrangements.
Oh, yes, the arrangements.
Terry's phoned me and told me everything. Of course, it's awfully short notice after, well, I suppose abroad it would be all right. Never look back. That's what I said when I left the theater. Mm. What's done is done. 11 years in the Chocolate Soldier, then oblivion. Just a rich man's petted darling.
Do you ever think of making a comeback?
An old lady's fancies, Mr. Spade. I've slipped out in the late afternoon and taken a secret path I know. Down past the potting shed. Pausing there sometimes, I pretended it was a theater and all the pots were people. Row upon seated row of audience, you know. And I've spoken a few little lines. Plucked from memory's garden. Go get some water and wash the filthy witness from your hands.
Huh?
Why did you bring these daggers from the place? They must lie there. Go carry them and smear the sleepy grooms with blood.
Oh, that's pretty potent stuff. You know, I don't remember that from the Chocolate Soldier.
Macbeth, my dear boy, Macbeth.
Ah.
Here's the smell of blood still. All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand. Oh.
Oh, hey, Mrs. Delafield, are you all right? I mean, should I get a doctor?
Flatterer, but they love me in Sydney.
No, I wasn't kidding about that, Mrs. Delafield. How would you like to make a comeback right here in San Francisco?
Comeback? Oh, but so soon after poor Russell.
Well, this would be a sort of a private benefit. A small but select audience.
Tell me more, Mr. Spade. You interest me strangely.
I gave her lines and told her what I wanted her to do with them. She fainted. When she came to, she agreed. Then I phoned Dundee. I don't know whether he fainted or not. A long silence on the other end of the line. And then when he came back, he called me a tin star, a cheap Seamus, a snoop hound, a snouter, a soft heel, a weasel, and a sluice. I called him a harness bull, a chair barnacle, a flat arch, a Joe Goss, a beagle, a sidewalk snail, and... No wonder he never got promoted. Then he sued me for a separate piece and I started all over again. He finally said he would, but if it didn't work, it'd be my license and not his badge. Well, they arrested your mother-in-law at 4 o'clock that afternoon. I waited 20 minutes after the extras hit the street, and I went upstairs to my apartment. You were standing there with your chin up and your hair down.
Sam, darling, it's all too ghastly. I can't believe it. Why did she do it?
Why did she do what?
Let herself be arrested like that. What is this statement the police say they're going to get out of her?
I don't know. Might be a confession.
It couldn't be.
Why not? You told the cops you didn't actually see your husband shoot himself.
But poor old Booty. She was so gentle, so sweet. She's strange, of course. Eccentric. She always did say she'd rather see Russell dead than in a sanitarium. Her own son.
Well, it happens.
Do you think they can get a conviction against her?
If it was murder, and if they can make her talk.
But it's impossible. How could she have gotten out of the house and down to the potting shed without seeing her?
Well, she told me she had a secret path around back of the hedge. Hey, take it easy.
If they make me go down there, to the police station, I don't want to see her. And she's so strange. Sometimes she imagines things. There's no telling what she'd say.
Well, it'll be okay, sweetheart. I'll be right there with you. Now, Now, here's what you gotta believe, Terry. I really didn't know. On the way over to the hall, I began wishing I'd let well enough alone, but it was too late for that. It was too late for everything but what was waiting for us down at headquarters. It was an ugly little scene. Your mother-in-law had the whole stage to herself, but I don't think she liked it. The lights were too bright and too hot and too close to her. Lieutenant Dundee and Sergeant Polehouse in shirt sleeves and ties, loosened, jumbo-sized leather snaps hanging out of their hip pockets, were looming over her, their faces showing beet red and brutal in the reflected light. They didn't look as though they were acting.
All right, Mrs. Delafield, let's start again, way back at the beginning.
But I've already told you over and over again.
And you're going to tell it again and again and again, 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times.
I'm so tired. If you'd only let me have a little sleep. These lights, sleep, then it's up the raveled sleeve of care.
Oh, poor Booty. Do they have to be so cruel?
Yeah.
Wake up, wake up. Hold your head up.
Let me handle this. Now, Mrs. Delafield, nobody wants to hurt you. Me and the sergeant want to sleep, too. We can't. Not till you tell us the truth.
But I...
Why did you lie about the secret path? Why are you lying now about your daughter-in-law? You're shielding her, aren't you? Aren't you? Aren't you?
Come on, talk. Pour it on, Lieutenant. I think she's ready to crack. Shall I give her treatment number 3?
Oh, no. Not again. I'll talk. I'll tell you everything. Everything.
Sam, you've got to stop her.
Too late, Gorgeous.
Come on, you. Stop bawling and spit it out.
I'd taken the little gun away from him earlier in the day, and then when my husband said he was going to have him taken away in a straitjacket.
No, no. Don't listen to her.
Shut up.
I went crazy. I didn't know what I was doing. I ran down to the shed.
Booty, no. She's lying. I shot him. I did it. I killed him. Can't you hear me?
Yes, I hear you, miss.
Well, aren't you going to arrest me?
Don't be impatient. We'll take your statement in a minute. First, I want to thank Mr. Spade for his cooperation. Good work, Sam. The department appreciates it.
Terry, dear, I'm so sorry. Mr. Spade assured me I was doing it for your own good.
Then I better thank him.
Oh, look, Terry, I...
Thank you very much. Thank you for everything. Oh, Sam, how could you?
Period. End of report. Type it up, Effie.
I'm sorry, Sam. I can't.
Oh, Effie. Oh, don't you be mad at me, too.
Don't touch me. You monster. And that girl loved you. And you betrayed her. You Judas.
Sour rocket. Effie, come on, come back. Don't leave me.
Well, Sam, here it is. I hope it's all right.
What is it?
Well, the report, Sam. I decided to do it after all and leave my desk in order. I'll need a reference.
Sit down. Sit down and I'll dictate it. To whom it may concern, Miss Effie Perrine has been in my employ for the past, how many years? You fill it in. She's capable, honest, efficient, and understanding.
That is true, Sam. And if you can only think up some explanation for the way you treated that poor girl.
Look, sweetheart, first off, we're in the detective business, remember? We can't make up our own rules as we go along. But I want you to know, this is one time I might have done just that. Only one reason I didn't.
Yes, Sam?
I was hoping I'd prove her innocent. But that's not the point. Whoever had killed Russell Delafield, his mother, his father, or his wife, it was justifiable homicide in my book. And in Terry's case, it was justifiable homicide in anyone's book. He made repeated attempts on her life, and her story that she'd kill him in self-defense will stick. If I have to bribe every member of the jury myself. Period. End of explanation. You can take it or leave it.
Well, I'll think it over. Good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
been listening to American Radio Theater's recreation of the lost old-time radio show, Sam Spade, The Judas Caper. Our show was directed by Dave Leese and produced by Joy Jackson. In the cast, you heard Ivan Curry as Sam Spade, Marge Lutton as Effie, Linda Rasmussen as Irene Delafield, Magpie McLaurin as Terry Delafield, Steve Miller as Russell Delafield, Mark Whitworth as David Delafield, Ken Leese as Lieutenant Dundee, and Kim Turner as Sergeant Polehouse. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. This episode was originally broadcast over the CBS radio network on April 11, 1948. Sam Spade was played by Howard Duff, Effie Perrine by Lorene Tuttle. I'm Liz Roach, your announcer, and this is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
Crosby, Clooney, number 391 for Monday, August 28, 1961.
Greetings. Greetings, Gary and Derwood, and thanks for relinquishing the facilities of the network to us.
These boys do things in a big way, don't they?
Don't they swing, these kids?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that calls for a big, big song, Rosie?
Coming right up.
For you would be me. I've been convinced after thinking through that the best thing for you would be me.
Rosie, how do you like my new space helmet here?
It's stunning, Bing, but I thought golf was your
still,
game.
Still is, my dear, still is.
Then why the space helmet?
Well, I just heard a fella say the Cheerios are out of this world, and if that's where the Cheerios are, that's where I'm going.
Guess that makes you America's first toasted oat astronaut.
I'm in orbit, kid, just thinking about Cheerios' deliciously different flavor.
Since you're going around in circles, Bing, tell the folks about Cheerios' circular shape.
Roger, Rosie, will do. Cheerios' perfect all-round shape makes for perfect all-round toasting.
He means that Cheerios come to us earthlings crisp and round, wonderfully golden all through.
Ah, those little O's of oats certainly help you blast off in the morning.
He means Cheerios give you that wake-up cheerful flavor.
All right, Rosie, start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Cheerios!
I wonder if they'll like this boo on the moon.
When whippoorwills call and evening is nigh, I hurried in my blue heaven. I turn to the right, and there's a little white light. It's gonna lead you to my blue heaven. You'll see a smiling face, a fireplace, a cozy room, a little nest that's nestled where the roses bloom. Just Molly and me, and baby makes three. We're happy in my blue heaven. Face a fireplace, a cozy room, just a little nest that's nestled where the roses bloom. Just Molly and me, and baby makes three. We're happy in my blue heaven. Well, I turn to the right, dig the little white light. It's gonna lead you to my blue heaven.
I got kind of a kick out of some remarks regarding girls in business, stenographers, secretaries, so on, by Miss Charlotte Arnett of Wilson High School.
Well, that's Wilson High School in Los Angeles, right?
Right.
Well, what does Miss Arnett say, Rosie?
She described what MBG, Miss Business Graduate, expects from her new employer.
Well, I suppose Miss Business Graduate's full of high hopes, at least.
Oh, very high in the hope department. Miss Business Graduate would hope that her boss would be a friendly person and that he would understand her nervousness and her apprehension about her first job and her first day at the office.
Well, the first day usually is sort of friendly and easygoing, isn't it?
I guess so.
That's the second day when the boss explodes, and that's when Miss Business Graduate starts to learn the facts of business, huh?
Yeah.
Please, we're dreaming, man.
Oh, pardon us, but...
Go ahead, dream on, Rosie.
Well, Miss Business Graduate also hopes that her boss will tell her one person to whom she can go for help and advice in learning the many things about the office that are new to her, but taken for a matter of fact by the older employees.
Oh, a kind word, a helping hand, and someone to show the way.
Mm-hmm. A friend in the time of need.
Once that is accomplished, there is smooth sailing in the office for the dream girl graduate.
I'm sorry, could we interrupt this dreaming for a minute?
Okay.
Shift your dreaming to neutral, huh, Rosie?
I see a new sun up in a new sky, and my whole horizon has reached a new high. Yesterday, my heart sung a blue song, but today, hear it hum a cheery new song. I dreamed a new dream. I saw a new face, and I'm spreading sunshine all over the place with a new point of view. Here's what greets my eye: new love, new luck, new sun in the sky. I dreamed a new dream. saw a new face, and I'm spreading sunshine all over the place with a new point of view. Here's what greets my eye. New love.
Now, to continue where I left off, here's how the boss, the employer, pictures the dream girl graduate.
Oh, I get it. Now we do the reverse shot, huh?
He's expecting Marilyn Monroe, I imagine.
Sophia Loren, maybe.
Oh, at least. Mm.
Steady. The DGG is young but mature.
That'll do for a start.
She's beautifully dressed but conservative.
Well, there's a nice, cozy arrangement.
Harmonious.
She is also intelligent, a straight-A student, able to take dictation at 140 words a minute, and able to type 75 words per minute.
In other words, a gorgeous, well-dressed, intelligent whiz, huh?
Wait, there's more. The boss's dream girl would never misspell a single word or use the wrong word.
Oh, truly a dream girl graduate.
You sure we haven't switched to some kind of an IBM machine here with skirts?
No, we're still dreaming. She would also be able to handle annoying interruptions with calm and poise and meet a 5 o'clock deadline for letters that were dictated in a hurry at 4:30.
Oh, now there's the girl that'll go someplace.
Now there's a girl that is someplace already.
But where? Where is she?
You want one, huh?
I'll take a gross.
Sorry, chum. This wonderfully efficient dream girl is in dreamland.
Yeah, I got carried away, I guess. In other words, we have allowed our dream boss and our dream girl graduate to indulge in some fancy-free fancy.
Makes for pretty high optimism, doesn't it?
For
the only way to approach a new job, I think. By the way, good luck, everybody, on their new jobs. Good luck to the bosses, too.
Good luck and pleasant dreams.
Dreams. Why can't real people be like dream people?
Stop dreaming, Ken.
This calls for dreamy music, doesn't it?
Well, if it doesn't, I'm going to rip my dream book to shreds. Tear it limb from limb.
Your lips so inviting, your eyes deep as wine. How well I remember when they were all mine. Your arms sweet and tender, your hair soft and bright. Where are you, my darling? Where are you? Good night, sweet dreams, Mary Lou. Good night, sweet dreams, Mary Lou. Good night, wherever you are. Good night, sweet dreams, Mary Lou. Fault was my own. I left you, I lost you, to walk all alone. Now I'm the one, dear, who cries in the night. Where are you, my darling? Where are you tonight? Good night, sweet dreams, Mary Lou. Good night, sweet dreams, Mary Lou. Good night, wherever you are. Good night, sweet dreams, Mary Lou.
it fresh, keep it fair. Let it bloom every night. Give it room, give it air. Keep your love a lovely dream and never wake it. Make it happy and be happy as you make it. Let it sing like a nightingale in May. Keep it gay, keep it free, or you'll frighten it away. Take it easy and enjoy it while you take it. Keep it gay, keep it gay, keep it gay. Keep it gay, keep it free, or you'll frighten it away. Take it easy and enjoy it while you take it. Keep it gay, keep it gay, keep it gay.
Here now is Buddy Cole with Laura. Oh, Laura just keeps rolling along, this girl, doesn't she? Buddy does this song, you know, on one of his new Warner Brothers albums, but this is a very special rendition. A potpourri, cooked up for CBS Radio alone.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Crosby and I would like to sing Meredith Willson's very nice love song called Good Night, My Someone, from The Music Man.
Yeah, Good Night, My Someone. Say, did you know, folks, maybe you did, that this tune is really 76 trombones slowed down. I'm telling you something. I'm for anything that's slowed down these days.
I'll really drag my foot.
Please do. Things are moving too darn fast these days.
Good night, my someone. Good night, my love.
Sleep tight, my someone. Sleep tight, my love. Our star is shining, its brightest light for tonight. My love for tonight.
Sweet dreams be yours, dear, if dreams there be.
Sweet dreams to carry you close
I wish they may, and I wish they might.
Now good night, my someone, good night.
I wish they may, and I wish they might.
Now good night, my someone, good night.
And so we take our leave, Rosie, Ken, and I. And let's give a little nod to Buddy Cole and his excellent little band here as we go. They're a good group, aren't they?
Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney with Buddy Cole's music may be heard over these same stations each weekday, Monday through Friday. This is Ken Carpenter inviting you to join us again tomorrow.
That's all the time I have. Please stop by our website, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more podcasts. We put up a new one every month. Hey, see you next time.